Shall we get started? Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to come together these Wednesday nights as we are to look into your word and just compare what we read there to some of the antics and false teachings that are taking place out in the world. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to recognize that they are not just out in the world, but infiltrating the body of Christ, infiltrating the church, and causing so many to be deceived and less usable for you, and even in many cases keeping people from the truth of who you are and what you've done for them. Lord, I do ask your blessing upon our topic tonight, and Lord, may it be communicated tactfully and accurately. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, tonight's lesson. I had a few of them that are kind of, I'm just going to say, in rapid succession here. They're related. They're related to the same movement. Several lessons in the past that we've looked at are connected to what we're looking at tonight. But we're dialing in on specifics through these things, okay? Before Christmas, we talked about demon slaying. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the new apostolic reformation. Last week, we looked at them exercising, slaying people in the spirit. And while there's a lot of similarities, there are some differences. And I'll tell you, I prepared a lesson this week that we'll look at in about 2 weeks. And the one thing that has amazed me, well, it hasn't amazed me. It surprised me a little bit in how interconnected so many of these false teachings are, to the degree that it's almost like there's one mastermind behind it all. Yeah, no kidding. I'm not kidding about that, okay? Anyway, the lesson that I prepared this week, which we'll look at in a couple of weeks, is just, it just kind of links everything together. But we've been looking at specifics, and tonight we're going to look at specifically the false teaching of miraculous healing, okay? Miraculous healing is what I want to look at. And again, they're kind of interchangeable with some of the other things that we've looked at, but really it is that teachers are claiming to be believers and claim to be able to do a miraculous work of healing somebody in an instant. The claim of a supernatural power, even the gift to heal people instantly. And I want to be clear on this right up front, okay? I do believe that God can and does miraculously heal people today. All right, I'm going to say that again. I do believe that God can and does miraculously heal people today. But what we're going to witness tonight and talk about tonight is not that. It's not that. What we're going to witness and talk about is, I'm convinced, not the work of God. It is a counterfeit. It is a mimic of some things that God truly did do, okay, in and through people 2,000 years ago. But this is a counterfeit. This is a mimicking of that, and it is very, very deceitful. All right. Here is a sampling for you.
boosted my faith, and I could have easily missed the powerful truth behind these simple words. Once you come to actually believe and embrace this truth, your faith will soar to new heights. I'll read the simple verse to you, and then I want to explain to you why this is so faith-stirring. Here's the verse, and it's a direct quote from Jesus himself. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, we can talk about the greater works another time, because there's a lot of debate about what those might be, but we definitely know what Jesus meant by the same works. Here's why this is so powerful. Everything that Jesus was anointed to do here upon the earth, you and I are called to continue. Once you grasp this reality and allow yourself to believe it, your faith to cast out demons, heal the sick, and even raise the dead will be boosted. Type amen if you believe God still moves today.
Since Jordan, for 7 years, 7 years what? 7 years ago, she was in an accident. Could have been her knee, could have been out of bed today. And in the power of God,
you'll have to listen close to this one. He's mute.
Jesus falls fire. Come to the ground. Speak something to the ground. Start thinking about who else. wasn't some mere pioneer, so they're not here, then what's kind of mega you were?
That last one's my favorite video ever. All right. Here we have entire services dedicated to the healing of people by the power of the Holy Spirit. The gift of healing is portrayed as instantaneous. The healing of backs, skin conditions, heart issues, knee issues, being mute, stomach issues, deformed arms, and even broken collarbones. So what does this teaching actually teach? Well, I got just a brief list for you here, just a couple things, and then we'll kind of look at some scripture, not kind of, we will look at some scripture and talk about those things. But first of all, it teaches that the spiritual gift of healing is active today, and we apparently were just witnessing it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11 says this. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And of course, healing is right in that list as a spiritual gift. So these are all gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributed to believers as the Holy Spirit wills and for the profit of others. So they teach that the spiritual gift of healing is active today. And spiritual gift of healing is active today. Here's the second thing. Some people are anointed or gifted to miraculously heal. Now, I will tell you that even with David Hernandez, the very first video that we watched, the YouTube long narrow one, he talks about, he was actually saying that all believers should be capable of doing this, but that's not really what the passage says. So I'm saying here, some people are anointed, and I think many within this active healing gift today would also say that only some people are anointed or gifted to heal miraculously. Benny Hinn would be one. David Hernandez would be one. The apostle Catherine Crick, she was the one that apparently healed that mute boy. And there are many others around the world that claim to have this gift to instantaneously heal somebody. And they exercise it regularly in services like what we watched there. There is one or two, maybe three churches right here in Mesquite that claim to have people amongst them who have that gift of instantly healing people. In fact, just this past weekend, there was a global awakening workshop at one of those churches here in town. And Janine actually looked this up, but here are some of the things that they taught at this workshop, that the gift of healing is alive and active today, and all believers can do it. That believers are called to move in these supernatural gifts, and that they seek to stir up faith and experience outpourings of the Spirit, seeing miracles and wonders as central to faith. So they had a workshop in teaching people how to do these things. I was right at a local church here in town. But they would say some people are anointed or gifted to miraculously heal. The next one is Jesus said, and this is what David Hernandez quoted in the very first clip that we watched. Jesus said, "Believers will do the same and even greater works than he." And in John 14:12, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, The works that I will do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And then they link that to the Holy Spirit because a few verses later in John 14, 16, and 17, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And therefore, it will be by the Spirit's power, okay, that this and spiritual gifts that you will do works, Jesus said, that I've done. You'll be able to do the exact same things that I've done and even greater. And here they are in the video doing them. But healing people, they will be able to do it in an instant. Jesus said believers will do the same that he did. And then the last one I've got for you here is the recipient must have faith to be healed. I don't know if you caught it, but in the one pastor healing the little blonde boy asked him beforehand, "Do you believe that you can be healed?" And the little boy said yes, and so he went ahead and did it. So the only reason they would say that healing fails is that a recipient did not believe that it would. Another video that I didn't include in my lineup was of a faith healer trying to heal a woman, and when he couldn't do it, he called her an unbeliever and unholy, and that's why he failed. So these are a few things that this teaching does teach. So let's move on to why is it false? And the first item I've got there, and I'll just tell you, I've got these in a bit of an order, because they'll kind of build on one another and create my argument, I guess. But the first one here is Jesus did miracles to authenticate who he is. That was the purpose for which Jesus did miracles. He did it so that people would know he's got to be from God. In fact, I'll read a couple passages to you here. In Luke chapter 7, verses 20 through 22, when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And that very hour he, Jesus, cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them.'" In John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, this is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.'" So he's raising Lazarus from the dead to prove to everybody that's watching that this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. In Matthew 8:27. It says, "So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" That's when Jesus calmed the storm. And in John 14:11, Jesus said, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." So basically, again, here he is emphasizing that the reason I am doing these miraculous things is to authenticate to you, I am truly the Son of God. I am God come in human flesh. So Jesus did miracles to authenticate who he is. The apostles did miracles to authenticate God's new revelation. In Acts, well, I got a reference here. Acts 15:12. I'll read it in a minute. But virtually every place in Scripture. In both the Old and the New Testaments, signs, wonders, and miracles happened only in conjunction with new revelation from God. The giving of the law happened right after the plagues of Egypt. We can look at a few of the prophets, but jumping ahead, the revelation of Jesus was accompanied by miracles. The recording of the New Testament and the revelation of the church was accompanied by miracles. So my point here is the apostles did miracles to authenticate God's new revelation. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But Acts 15:12 says, "All the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles." And here the miraculous works of God served as evidence to Jewish believers that God was in fact working in the Gentiles too. It was new to them. It was brand new revelation to them. The fact is, the spectacular, and I've worded it this way for a reason, because what we're witnessing here could seem spectacular. If you witnessed the true miracle of Jesus or one of the apostles, it would look spectacular, okay, to see Lazarus raised from the dead. But here I'm wording it this way, spectacular miracles are very isolated to very small windows of time in history. When we read the Bible, okay, we're reading over the course of 6,000 years here now, and, you know, we read miracle after, but what we fail to remember is that these miracles are separated by sometimes, or miraculous times are separated sometimes by thousands of years. 1,000 years goes by before another spectacular miracle happens. So my point here is, spectacular miracles are actually very isolated to very small windows of time in history. Miracles, spectacular miracles, have never been the norm. They've always been the exception. They've always been very special. Jesus healed people, and this is kind of one I just threw in there, but it fits. Jesus healed people who were known by many, not some stranger who came up on stage that nobody knows. All right. In John 5:5-6, it says, "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?'" Okay, Jesus and probably everybody present knew who this guy was. And Jesus healed him. I think one of these faith healers should contact Michael J. Fox and heal him of his Parkinson's disease. The faith of the recipient, and we're talking about why this is false and this is true, okay? The faith of the recipient in Scripture was not a must. That's one of the excuses faith healers will use today. Well, you didn't have enough faith to be healed. Well, in Scripture, the faith of the recipient was not a must. I mean, after all, Lazarus was dead. All right? Lazarus was dead. The royal official's son and the centurion's servant was not even present. They were healed from afar. The man at the pool of Bethesda didn't even know. He didn't even know who Jesus was. Listen to John 5:11-13. He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.' Then they asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?' But the one who was healed didn't know who it was." While Jesus did complement the faith of numerous people he healed. The faith of the recipient was not a must. This next one is exceptional. Every healing Jesus and the apostles attempted was successful. Now we're going to look at a passage in a few minutes here and talk about it, but this is the fact of the matter. Every healing Jesus and the apostles attempted was successful. There were people that the Lord did not heal. There were people that the Lord did not lead the apostles to heal. Paul himself had an infirmity that God would not take away. Timothy had stomach problems, but Jesus nor the apostles never failed to heal a person the Lord led them to heal. Every person that came was healed 100%. Listen to a few passages here from Acts. Acts 5:16 says, "Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people to those who, and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." In Acts 28:9-10, it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Every single one of them. That's not what we're seeing today. Now, I made mention of this passage a few minutes ago, but I want us to look at a passage that those who teach this would use to say, you know, 100% success with the apostles is not actually accurate, okay? They use it to say the gift of healing does not always work. And that is why they might even say they're not successful sometimes. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And I want to read verses 14 through 21. And I want to get your thoughts on this. Matthew chapter 17 and verses 14 through 21, it says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." So, is that proof that the biblical gift of healing is not 100% successful? What do you think? Elmo?
For man, but for God it always is.
Okay, for man and for God it always is. Other thoughts? Okay, yeah, so the disciples, it wasn't the apostles yet. That's right, Jesus said they didn't have enough faith to do it. But the teaching today would say, well, this is proof that the spiritual gift of healing is not 100% successful. Any other thoughts? Had the spiritual gift of healing been given yet?
No.
This is Matthew chapter 17. Holy Spirit hadn't even come yet. This is some men, disciples, a bunch of them that Jesus gave authority to go out and do. This has nothing to do with the spiritual gift of healing that these claim to have and that the apostles indeed did have and were 100% successful with. So, but this, my point is, this is one of those verses that they'll point to and say, see, they didn't heal everybody. Well, they didn't have the Spirit of God in them either. Okay? All right. Did I see a question? Yes, right here.
Yeah, but I understand what you just said, but that's not how Jesus answered them when they said, why couldn't we do it?
That's right. They didn't have faith.
But you said it didn't work because the Spirit hadn't come yet.
The argument of these people.
Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. I'm glad you asked because I do want to make sure that this is clear. Their argument is that the gift of healing, the spiritual gift of healing, isn't 100%. Okay? It isn't 100%. And they use this verse to prove it. However, the Holy Spirit hadn't even been given in Matthew chapter 17. So they were going on authority that Jesus told them, go out and do this, okay? So it wasn't a spiritual gift that failed. It was them that failed.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Every healing Jesus and the apostles attempted were successful. Many works of Jesus, only Jesus could do. Let's go back. Let's look at this one. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 12. This is another key verse that they use. John chapter 14 and verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So what do you think about that statement? What thoughts? Are they accurate then in saying that we should be able to do everything that Jesus did? Richard?
Verses in the future tense.
Okay, all right.
He's talking about when he leaves, when he's gone.
Okay, yep. It is in future tense. Other thoughts? Rick?
I think the greater works that he's talking about is the work of a transformed life.
Okay.
Someone being delivered from sin and becoming born again.
Okay, born again, people becoming born again.
There's no greater work than that.
Okay.
Transformed life.
Okay, all right.
Pastor, I have a question.
Elmo.
Jesus tells us that the work of the Father is that we would believe. And it's not very specific. I was looking to see about the context, what works he would refer to here, if they were specific about a certain type of work, or does it include all of his works?
I think John chapter 14 gives us a lot of information to answer that question, okay? Here's some things. Many works that Jesus did, only Jesus could do. Here's something. And again, they would claim that we should be able to continue everything that Jesus did. Well, only Jesus could atone for sin. We can't do that. That's certainly excluded here. Only Jesus could transfigure. That's certainly excluded here. And again, my point is there are many things that Jesus did that others can't do also. And then we have the greater works The greater works were not, I don't believe, about miracles. Assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. If you're still in that passage, jump down to verse 16 and 17 now. It says, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of healing, whom the world... Truth. Oh, the Spirit of truth. Okay. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Here is what the context of the passage is. The greater works are about making Jesus known. The context of the passage is the truth. In fact, if you go above that in John 14, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right before the ascension, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so the greater works are, it's not about miracles, it's about making Jesus known over a greater geographical area. For one thing, they're going to go out into all the world and preach the gospel of Christ. So it's over a greater geographical area. It's certainly being made known by a greater number of people. There's lots of us rather than Jesus and his immediate disciples. The work that we're accomplishing right now as the church is oh so much greater than what Jesus had the opportunity to accomplish personally while he walked the earth. And it's to a greater number of people. That changed life aspect that Rick talked about. All right. Jesus had a pretty small crowd. In fact, he had a couple thousand at one point, and as soon as he spoke truth to them, just about all of them departed, okay? So he had a very small number until the day of Pentecost. And here we are now ministering, making Jesus known to a much greater number of people and for a greater duration. Jesus had a couple years. Here we are going on 2,000 years now making Jesus known. So what about Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18? Let's go ahead and turn there. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. We made mention of this very briefly last week as we were closing just in our discussion aspect. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. It says there, this is Jesus speaking. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe. I'll back up to verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So here's this passage. And I just want to make a few observations about this because we've touched on this a little bit already. We did last week. We will again next week. But a few observations here concerning Mark 16, 17, and 18. This is Jesus speaking, all right? This is a prediction of miraculous signs. All right. Today, this is said to be of every true believer, by the way. David Hernandez said that every true believer should be able to do these things. Do they? I mean, you know, and it's interesting that they pick a select few out of here. There are very few people who handle snakes and drink deadly poisons and survive, okay? We talked about that last week. But this is Jesus making a prediction of miraculous signs. Signs are for new revelation. We talked about that just a few minutes ago, talking about as we see these miraculous, very rare windows of time, when we see these miraculous things happen, they're always in conjunction with something new that God is revealing to man. So signs are for new revelation. The Bible is the completed revelation of God. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21 says that it is. This is the word of God confirmed. It is completed. And therefore, right now, signs are not necessary because we have the completed word of God. It has been authenticated. Remember, we talked about the apostles, the reason they were able to do these miraculous signs and wonders was to authenticate the message they were bringing. That message is what we have in this book right now. We have it complete. And therefore, right now, signs are not necessary. In fact, scripture speaks of these miraculous signs less and less the further you go into the Bible chronologically. The truth of the matter is, and I'm speaking honestly here, I do not know of, nor have I ever heard of a single person who can exercise any of the things in Mark 16 and 17 as the Bible describes them. I'm seeing counterfeits, but I'm not seeing what the Bible describes. But in the early church, before we had the completed Word of God, these were very real gifts, okay? We have scriptures that speak about all of these things that Jesus predicted. They really did happen. I'm not doubting that whatsoever. I believe these things that Jesus predicted really did happen, but he specifically calls them signs. Signs that authenticate the revelation that was taking place at that point in time. Gift, and this is the last one I've got here, an observation on Mark 16 and 17, but it references another verse. Gifts have always been as the Spirit wills. And I think that's really important to understand because I'm not seeing these actual things really happening. While I'm seeing only counterfeits, I have to believe that at this point in time, it is the Spirit's will that these things aren't happening. Now that said, what's interesting is when you get into the book of Revelation, and in particular the two witnesses, they're doing miracles again. And I think there's new revelation that's going to take place during the tribulation with these two witnesses. All right, but anyway, gifts have always been as the Spirit wills. In fact, that's how verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 ends. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And because of Scripture, because of what a sign gift is, because of the completion of God's revelation in the Bible, because of observable evidence, I believe it's the will of the Spirit that these sign gifts are not currently active. All right, and then I've got one last one under why is it false? Well, today's healing is very active in the prayer of faith. As I started tonight, I directly stated, I do believe that God does miracles today, even miraculous healing. And it's because of the prayers of the saints. The active prayer of faith. In James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Okay? I don't believe is even about the spiritual gift of healing. Why might I say that about this James 5:13 through 15? Don't I think it's the gift of healing? What do you think? What do you think about what I think? Sandy?
Because it takes the prayer of several people to do that.
Okay. All right, so it didn't say call for the person with the spiritual gift of healing to come. All right, it said call for the elders to come, and the prayer of faith can heal that person. It involves the prayer of church leaders, not gifted healers. The sick, there's something else. The sick called for the elders, not the other way around. God does do miracles today. And I do pray, you know, I'm open, I will tell you, I am open to correction if I am wrong here. But I don't think that the Word of God is communicating what we're seeing here at all. I think what we're seeing here is absolute and utter counterfeit. Okay? And if the gift of healing does actually exist today, where are they? Why are there hospitals? Why are there doctors? Elmo?
Why would the Lord be stingy with that?
Yeah. And I understand that, you know, some people it is his will to heal, some people it isn't. And that was the case then, that's the case now. But I have to come to the conclusion that what I read right here is not what I'm seeing right there. God does do miracles. He is very active in that today, and it's the prayer of faith. So, what is happening here? First of all, it's fake. I think 99.99999% What did you think about the woman with her arm getting healed? Did you see that? What's that? No, it's actual. It's real footage. It is real footage of a woman having a crippled arm and it straightening out there. That was a huge exposed scandal in Africa, actually. The woman in the video who had the deformed arm later admitted, and this is part of an article I'm reading, admitted that she was paid to act as if her arm, which had been injured in an accident, was twisted from birth. It actually, it did something with the jointing, but she would hang her arm in a deformed way during staged events. The pastors, and yes, she went up on stage 5 different times for different pastors in different locations and was paid to do it. She's actually a Muslim. Okay, she would hang her arm in a deformed way during the stage events. The pastors would then perform their spiritual antics and appear to heal her. A performance that was filmed and circulated on social media to attract followers and donations. The woman stated she accepted the role because she needed money to treat her actual injury. All right. I don't know if you caught it. It was, the audio wasn't great, but the little mute boy. Did you see anything that looked suspicious with that? And I'm not saying that I have proof that that was fake. I just made a few observations. Did you catch anything with that? Okay. The mom told him to say thank you, as if she knew he could now. Okay. Anyway, it just seemed very odd to me. You could tell that he was prepared. Because Catherine Crick, the Apostle Catherine Crick, who is doing that healing, always does a count. 1, 2, 3 before she heals. And you could tell that he had been coached on that because he went 1, 2, 3. Right. Okay. So anyway, just... I've got a couple more things for you here. I do believe that the vast majority of it is fake, if not all of it. And then it is psychological exploitation. We watched a Kosti Hen video last week talking about being slain in the spirit and how the preacher, speaker, will use the power of suggestion to prepare the person to do what he says they're going to do. And that's really what is happening here. The prayer that the pastor said for that little blonde boy, it was riddled with suggestion about what is about to happen. Okay, this is what's going to happen. I'm praying for this to happen. Now do it. And he did it. I've got one more Kosti Hen. This is just an audio. But for those of you that weren't here last week, Kosti Hen is the nephew of Benny Hen, who we watched here tonight in a few video clips. And he used to be on staff with Benny, being a catcher of the falling people. But he, praise the Lord, found the truth of God, placed his faith in Jesus Christ, and now actually has a ministry of exposing these things that we're seeing. And this is, it's just an audio from a podcast, but you can listen to it.
Did you see examples of just real tomfoolery? Why don't we bring somebody up who has an obvious sort of thing that, you know, when Jesus healed people, like a man born blind from birth, everybody knew it. He sat there, same place every day. Everybody knew this blind man. And it was clear that it was a miracle. Did you get jaded?
Yeah, as I watched healing unfold, there did come a point where I would begin to tally up how many times it was back pain, ringing in the ear.
Did you get a check?
Absolutely. And even the doctors that are in the front row, they're paid. Some of them are volunteers, but a lot of them are paid. They do checkups, they fill a report. That's like you and I just Xeroxing a copy of a doctor's report or a template and having our Christian doctor friend who's a partner with the ministry just check and say, wow, so no more reading here? No, okay, well, what did you get prior? And doing a kind of a baseline assessment. And then you see wheelchairs up on the platform and they all look the same. I remember literally thinking, when you go to a concert or you go down the street, not every wheelchair looks the same. But on the platform at a crusade, every wheelchair looks the same. It's almost like they grab the wheelchairs from the back that the stadium has, or like the airport, they all look the same. Venues have the same wheelchairs. people in real life don't. That's another thing that's interesting. In Alaska, you see people get up and take braces off or throw crutches. And I have seen video and photos in retrospect, people showing these things, of the same person that's on the stage wheeling down in their wheelchair or on the crutches. And you look at, I mean, literally, unbelievers will not just surmise this, but prove it scientifically. Psychosomatic healing, power of suggestion, just the general energy in the room, people getting excited. A lot of people in wheelchairs can stand, and that sells well. So my dad and a few friends were thinking in mind, and you're only getting on stage if you've got a great story to sell. That's the way you got there. I saw time and time again, like if you might walk up there and you had an amputated leg, and you said, he said that God will grow limbs. I believe it. Here's my offering. I'm ready. Just put me on the stage. I'm ready to get healed. Let me up there. I want my healing. They would literally turn you away because they don't do healings on the platform. It all has to be part of the show.
All right. That was just a clip. Let's see here. I probably got to go through all this now. Lost my program. So some of them, it's psychological exploitation. The crowd is just being readied, suggesting. And then I do think that some might be demonic. And the reason I bring that up is because of a book that I read a couple, it's been quite a while ago now. I think it was written back in the 90s, but it was of a woman telling her story about psychic healing. And the book is called The Beautiful Side of Evil. And basically, the point being is Satan can do the supernatural at times too. And I think sometimes some of the things that we might witness may be demonic. All right, so there's that. And then, well, I'll ask you as I close out every one of these, but what's the harm? Kind of a silly question, I know, but Elmo?
It just causes people to lose faith rather than giving it.
I think it does. It causes people to lose faith, especially when so many of these things are exposed or at least exposable. Yeah. Other thoughts? What's the harm, Roger?
It just deflects away from God.
This
man is doing you.
All right, yeah, it's exploiting a man.
Give me the glory.
That's right.
I'm doing this for God, but give me the glory.
And that's what Benny Hinn was talking about last week. You know, it's like this is a superhero here. Like Taylor Swift type of thing, okay? And they're all just wound up, and they want to honor that person, Mitch.
Well, it's not really the Great Commission. The Great Commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel, not run a sideshow.
Right, right. And they would argue that they would probably include a version of the gospel in their services, but yeah, you're right. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach Jesus. The payment for sin, for our sin, so that we can have a restored relationship with God, so that we can pray to Him, so that He can meet our needs, be our provider, be our protector. That's our God. Right here?
In simplicity, I wasn't there when Jesus was healing people, but neither were they. And I can't see our Lord smacking people on the head and sending them to the ground and making sure someone was there to touch them. I see Him healing in gentleness and love.
And that's not in Scripture either, right? You're absolutely right. You don't see it because we don't read it.
Right.
We don't read these antics in Scripture. Debbie.
Gives people false hope.
Leroy.
Is this part of the charismatic movement?
It is.
Okay. I might be wrong, but isn't there more suicides in a charismatic group or whatever because they're told you don't have enough faith to be healed and they go off and commit? commit suicide?
Yeah, and I don't know that statistic at all. I don't. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if there are more suicides within that group or not. Yeah, and I've got a brief list. You've named them all. Makes a mockery of Christ too. You know, for outsiders looking in on something like this, I've shared this story with you before, but when I first felt the Lord's call into ministry, I told a coworker that I'm going to be a pastor, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, you're going to be rich then." Because his view of ministry was what we're seeing right here. Okay, we are out of time, so let me close our time in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, and Father, I pray that we don't look upon a topic like this in mockery, but sadness. I pray that we don't look at a topic like this in a holier than thou fashion, but in humility. And Lord, I do pray for the many who have been caught up in this, deceived and even being deceivers. I pray that they would seek forgiveness. I pray that you would bring them to the love and the truth of Jesus so that they might repent and go out and simply preach the gospel of Christ. Lord, thank you for our time here tonight, and it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.